Hey Pairs fans, it's your old pal Jim Dale here. Well, where to start? Firstly, we cannot begin to imagine what the friends, family, teammates and colleagues of Josh Baker must be going through right now. But as supporters, myself, Pete and Daz are feeling the weight of his loss just like you are, I'm sure. Sometimes life is cruel, sometimes life is flat out unfair, and sometimes it's just shit, isn't it? I'm sorry to those who are listening to this daft podcast with kids, but sometimes a swear word just fits the bill. So what is there to do but all sit in the shit together? As Worcestershire supporters, as a cricketing family, and try and show up for those who knew and loved him most. This is not the way we wanted to reintroduce ourselves to you, but we're going to carry on anyway, and we'll do our best this week to talk cricket, talk nonsense, and try and play out the day. Whatever way this season goes, whatever wins, draws, and losses we see at New Road, Kidderminster, and beyond, it will, all of it, be played out under the shadow of a memory of a young man with a big heart who had a very bright future ahead of him. So let's hit the theme tune, dig in, and hang out. We'll see you on the other side, gang. Hey Pairs fans, we're back for another crack. It's On A Pair, three friends talking about the game they love, the team they follow, and all the complexities that life brings with it. It's been a long time since I last saw you in this context, Daz. It's also been a difficult couple of weeks as well. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, I'm all right, mate. Yeah, a very difficult week for all Pairs fans. Absolutely heartbreaking, wasn't it?
Yeah, a super talented cricketer, and I mean, we're going to miss him in all kinds of ways, aren't we?
100%, yeah. I mean, just reading all the tributes about him and all the nice things everybody was saying, just breaking my heart, reading it all week. Feeling really bad about it all.
Yeah. Pete, how are you, Tiger?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. I'm good. It's a nice tribute today, wasn't it? First day versus Kent. Nice little moment this morning of them all lined up. A little bit of applause and the nice moment that they've got the number 33 on the shirts. I do have to say, though, it did make me smile because I remember you telling me about how difficult it was that they haven't got names on the back from a commentary point of view. And when they announced Baker 33, I thought all the players were going to wear 33 on the back just to make your life really difficult.
Blimey. Yeah, that is a tricky old gig, isn't it? But it's a lovely gesture. And, you know, continual referencing of 33. It's a tricky one, isn't it? It's when you're a supporter, and there'll be plenty of people who listen to this who will have really known Josh and really loved him, and it must be so tough. But for us who kind of see him and know who he is as a character without knowing him intimately, it's with a sporting context, you just feel it, don't you? You feel like you
Absolutely.
Belong. You feel like you almost you own part of them because you pay your money to go and see them all the time. So it's a kind of a collective grief, and as a club and a cricketing family, it's been lovely to see from all corners of the county circuit, you know, just a lot of love and respect for a really charming and likeable young lad. I mean, there'll be plenty of references to Josh between now and the end of the season and beyond, I'm sure. It just means that this month is tricky. We'll all carry on. And I think most importantly, we've all got to try and find a way to keep enjoying our cricket. And that's why we are back, and that's why we are doing this. And it's not the time really that we wanted this to be. We were going to come in all guns blazing and be daft, which is normally what we do. And we'll still try and do that for this time out. But it's with a sort of a knowing sense that there are just more important things than cricket.
Definitely.
But with that in mind, let's talk about cricket. I feel like it's been
With that in mind, can we talk about football for a minute?
Well, there's a sudden change of pace. Go on. Where's this going?
Daz, have you recovered from your football outings?
From what's happened?
Oh, no.
You've had two football outings, haven't you?
Don't
remember any of them. Have you tried following a sport that doesn't involve penalties?
Yeah.
for context, I feel, I mean, it's a very rare occasion that Peter's the mean one on the podcast, but you've managed it. Worcester City lost in the semi-final, second leg, which meant they end up having to go to a penalty shootout against Great Wakering. They won the first leg, lost the second, and they were a penalty kick away from playing at Wembley, which Daz and I would have been at. Pete wouldn't have been, but that's okay. And then you're also a Coventry City fan. I mean, that was just daylight robbery, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we scored the winning goal in that one, didn't we?
You scored the winning goal and still lost on penalties in the semi-final of the FA Cup.
What sport doesn't have penalties in it? Lacrosse? Could you follow that?
I don't know. I was very cross anyway. That's a...
Bowls?
On the plus side, I do follow England in the international stuff, and they never lose on penalties. Oh, yeah, they do, yeah.
It's a tough world, isn't
it? I'm used to it. Don't worry about it.
Move anyway, on. Well done,
I've moved
Daz.
On.
Well
Let's
done.
Move on.
Well done for representing.
Yeah. God bless you, Daz. What a tough old end to the season football-wise for you. But look, the last time we spoke to you was so long ago, because we're a little bit late to proceedings this time round, that it feels like if we tried to do the news, which is what we normally do, it would take about a week and a half. So we're going to jettison the news for now. And against my better judgment, I think we're going to go straight to, God help us, Worcestershire Watch. Play the jingle.
It's sometimes incoherent, but generally quite brilliant. Daryl's Worcester Watch.
I've never been on this early before. This is really exciting.
It's like you opening the batting.
It's like when Finch and Gibbon coming in to open the batting.
Yes! Reverse the batting order.
How well did that work out?
Well, let's see if you can follow suit. I believe in you, Daz. Go on.
He's more likely to follow through, to be honest.
Oh, well, I've just had a dodgy Chinese off Pete, so I wouldn't be too surprised if that does happen, I think. Where do you want to start, chaps? Second 11, Sparks, or Women's Rapids?
Let's start with the second 11.
Second 11. So just the one result so far, actually, which was a opening day win against Gloucestershire, bowling them out for 68 on the last day to win by 144 runs. And since then, the rain... Well, you've seen it yourselves, haven't you? Rain, 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 rain. And then, of course, the last game against Lancashire was obviously called off for obvious reasons. They play against Warwickshire at Edgbaston next up on the 24th of May. So let's hope they get back to winning ways in that one.
Yeah, Singh got a few, didn't he?
Yeah.
In bowling. So he's another one who went through, along with Kashif, who we'll talk plenty about in a bit, what a start to the season he's had. But another... it was another South Asian Cricket Association pathway, wasn't he?
We could have bailed you out of that, but you got there.
I struggled, didn't I?
I know.
I was like, Saka, can I say Saka? Is that specific enough?
Yeah.
And you watched me struggle. Yeah. It's okay. We got there. Look, ever the professional, I'll get there in the end. I'm worth waiting for almost some of the time. But yeah, it was mainly a second 11 with a good heavy dosage of first 11.
I think that was the same for Gloucester as well, to be fair. So a good win nonetheless. And they're unbeaten still. So
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, is there? Let's move on to Sparks then. Not the best of starts. Well, they won the first game.
So an excellent start.
So
then.
A very good start.
Not just the best, not of, the best starts, of starts, they won.
the perfect start. I get the feeling that, because this has been a while, gang, no one's going to let anything slide. Poor Daz. Like, we bought up Worcester City.
I know why you asked me to go first now.
Yeah, that's a play and a miss there from Finch.
It's all right, mate. You've wafted at one, but you're still in.
Yeah, I've been dropped four times, I think.
I believe in you. I believe
in you. So, go on. Sparks got off to a terrible start.
So, after getting off to the best possible start with a win against the Thunder. So, not the best of starts for the Sparks. Just two wins from the first six games.
Well done. Context well done. There. We jumped
there
in too soon.
You jumped in far too soon. Although they did win the most recent game against the Thunder last Wednesday, which stopped the rot after four defeats in a row. So I have to say it wasn't the best of starts. They did actually win the opening game. Evelyn Jones, customary fashion, 136 for her this week. So
run machine.
Fantastic innings.
Run machine.
Chasing down 285. So that was a great win. One of the defeats against Diamonds was by one run. So that didn't help matters. It was an exciting finish, though. Just two runs needed off the last over. And yes. With three wickets
cutting
in hand.
Cutting that against the Diamonds, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Yay. Nice. Yay. Doesn't take you long to hit your stride, does it?
I'm back. I'm back.
I might nick that joke and do a carbon copy of it later.
Hey, I tell you what, we're back. We're back, boys.
Hannah Baker for the Diamonds bowling in the last over there. Was an expert in death bowling. Every
she needed that,
hole.
Didn't she?
Yeah. Hey,
for the confidence.
Very good. Took two for two anyway in the last over. There was a run out as well, so off the last ball. So, not the best of such Sparks, two from six, but they're still in the running.
Worcestershire Women's Rapids.
Hold on.
Whoa.
Southeast Stars, my friend. Southeast Stars.
Southeast.
Chloe Hill.
Not interested. Southeast. See ya.
Daryl Butler again turns on Chloe Hill with absolute precision at the first available opportunity. Wicketkeepers Union. Yeah, Chloe Hill.
The only reason I mention
it is... Welcome to On a Kent podcast.
The only reason I mention it is there was a good grab, wasn't there? Good reflex tumbling catch. Made the highlight reel.
Yeah, I get the feeling that Chloe's on the cusp here. Like, she had to move to get more playing time because she was stuck behind Amy Jones, wasn't she? And
a couple of useful knocks as well.
Yeah,
he was a 30
odd. Good player. You feel like last year there was something brewing. There's something percolating with Hill, and I think she might be onto something, which is always good because regardless of Daryl's playful nature, she's the Rapids captain, man. She's legit. She's one of us.
I'm sure our friends in Canterbury will be delighted. Saving the best till last, Worcestershire Women's Rapids. One name, gentlemen. Bryony Gilgrass.
Wow.
Still at school.
Yeah.
And she scored more runs in one innings than I have in my entire cricketing life.
Is that the last game when she got naught?
Yeah.
No, but look.
What a knock.
150 at any level in any context is absolute dynamite. You can fluke a 50, 60 or 70. Getting 100 is hard, as we've covered. Getting a daddy 100, getting 150 as a 15-year-old kid at Edgbaston is legit.
Yeah. And I was going to say it was a young Warwickshire side, but then it's not like... She was the same age as...
Relatively speaking, it was an old Warwickshire side. To her, they all are. Yeah, I mean, she got a duck on... And the game against Oxfordshire, but you know, you win some, you lose some. That you don't do that without being able to play and being a real deal. And that's properly exciting.
And hoofing Warwickshire is fun.
Yeah.
Whatever the context.
Well, drugs out a bit of trouble in that innings as well. So we were 70 odd for four. It was a bit of an okay start, but it wasn't.
Turns out we only needed another 17.
But fantastic. Not so one to look for, hope for in the future.
Yeah, another good young cricketer. I mean, with the Rapids, it's now two from two, isn't it? Because Pete and I, we took the other halves as is, to Flag Meadow.
Mum bought a hamper.
Your mum bought a hamper as well. And so we watched it. We went down to watch the Women's Rapids against Oxfordshire down at the Grammar School, which was nice. Two wins from two.
Yeah, perfect. So the Ellie Anderson, wasn't it? Got a decent.
Got a brilliant out. 50, actually. There were 80 odd for five and turned it into a really decent innings. And then, we thought, she wasn't quite so good with the ball. A little bit wayward with the ball. Hardwick actually bowled quickly from the other end. She looked really impressive.
Just had too much in the end, didn't we, with the ball?
Claire Boycott bowled. Claire
Boycott. Boycott and Bertie. Flora Birtwistle, they put the stranglehold. We've seen it before, haven't we? At times with Jess Humby as well, when she plays, is that we've got those bowlers that can take the pace off, that have got a bit of guile, wicket to wicket, and Birtwistle, we know she can tweak it, man. So we can just strangle those teams in the middle overs. Yeah. So even though Ellie Anderson wasn't really firing, the wickets weren't coming in the opening spell. It wasn't quite the control that you would normally expect because standards are high now. Standards are that high. But we've just got, we've got a first change, then we've got a second change, a third change that can hurt you.
As you see, you've got people like Birtwistle, Phoebe Rhett as well, who can just put the ringer on and say to the opposition, well, okay, you're going to have to hit out later on, and that's when we'll take the wickets. Which is what we did.
Rapids doing that, and we have to live in a world where, you know, we're people like Emily Arlett and Karis Pavli that they're going to be off playing for Sparks. And so if we continue this kind of conveyor belt of good young cricketers, we are now, like we have been saying since the start of this podcast, really, that the Women's Rapids are legit and they deserve your time and your attention. And it's great. The club are really giving them that because it's justified. It was a good watch, wasn't it? It was a lovely way to spend a day.
It was delightful.
It was delightful.
So two wins, including a bonus point win against Warwickshire as well, sees them up in the running at the top end of the table. So great stuff for the Rapids. They don't play another 50-over game until June, but they've got a T20 coming up. And that's on the 26th of May against Warwickshire at Hales Owen, if anyone's interested in that one. That's a 10:30 start. Then they play Shropshire, I think, later on that day.
Mm-hmm. Interested in the Women's Rapids, not so interested in Hales Owen. Okay. But I think I can get over it.
And I think even the people in Hale's Own aren't so interested in Hale's Own. Yeah. That's okay. I mean, it's going to be an interesting time for the Women's Rapids because they've made real progress in the past few years and developed some really great cricketers as well as some really kind of dependable players that have been just doing it for years and years and years. But the new tier systems coming in, obviously we didn't apply to be a tier one because it comes with a £300,000, thanks very much, buy-in before anything else. And we just said we're not going to. And there was a bit of an arms race of about a dozen counties that wanted one of the eight spots for it. So it'll be interesting to know what this means. You know, will we ever see our top end, our star players turn out for the Rapids again? I don't know.
Feels a bit early to go negative, but I feel I can just get it out of the way.
Have you got some truth to bring, Pete?
I've got mixed feelings. So just to explain what the tier one teams are going to be, if you're not entirely up with what the proposals are, I won't bore you with them. Give it a quick googs, as Jim said once last season.
Oh, can I just say, I caught my wife saying on a Teams meet with work, on a Teams meeting at work, she's a manager at the NHS, using the phrase, "I've just done a quick googs." Proudest moment of my life. Forget child being born. Emma said, "I've just done a quick googs." Yes.
Excellent.
Sorry, Pete, as you were.
So the sides that have been granted tier one status are Durham, Essex, Hampshire, Lancashire, Nottinghamshire, Somerset, Surrey and Warwickshire. Spot the theme of those sides. Joining them in 2027 will be Glamorgan and Yorkshire, who have been named as two tier one expansion teams. It's like a little bonus pack you can buy and you get Glamorgan and Yorkshire coming in.
So Somerset are in, Gloucestershire are not?
Correct.
Okay. So Somerset are the only one that aren't a test ground, right?
Yeah, it's basically the top teams in men's cricket with Yorkshire coming in 2027 and the big test grounds.
Okay. But I mean, they've paid for the privilege.
Yeah. So I've got mixed feelings on this. The cynics would say it's all about monetizing the game, and that's sort of fair enough in many ways. The argument that's being put forward that I understand is greater accountability, because there's an argument to say that with the regional franchise as it is, there can be a bit of a handoff between Worcestershire and Warwickshire about, you know, who's babysitting the Sparks type scenario. And actually, if you make it a county-run side, the structure that's in place is responsible for developing that side and the pathways that go with it. So does it bring greater accountability? In theory, I can get behind that argument. What I'm not overly keen on is that as a Worcestershire fan, I think it absolutely sucks that we won't see elite cricket in a women's capacity at New Road anymore from next year. We will have to go up the road, presumably, because players who are in the Sparks franchise at the moment, you would imagine, will be snapped up in a Warwickshire squad or elsewhere.
Yeah.
And the other thing I don't like, I understand the argument from the club that we can't afford to apply for a tier one side, you know, especially with ground developments, which I'm sure we'll come on to, and, you know, general financial restraint. But what they haven't said is what we'll do instead. So they've said, we're not doing tier one. And I believe informally in a kind of members forum, they've suggested we're going to apply for tier two, but they've given no confirmation as to what it looks like. And you sort of feel like, come on, set your stall out, back them, say what it's going to be and give us something to hang on to. But at the moment, it's just a bit like, not our problem right now. We'll deal with it later.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I have to say that, I mean, we've been very positive about how the club has been presenting itself. It feels slick and professional. And, you know, that is actually, I think, the one thing. I think you're right, Pete. It's the one thing out of the many things they've done excellently in terms of visibility, credibility, accessibility, confidence in how they go about business, things like recruitment. We'll get onto that too. But with the women's Rapids are getting better and better. The standard's getting better and better. We're getting more and more young cricketers coming through. And, you know, we have established players. I know Sarah Glenn has since gone to Derbyshire because that's where she's from. But we had a little cluster of genuinely top-end international caliber cricketers, and so you kind of want the club, just in terms of articulation, to wave a flag for that in this moment and say, look, we can't do it for this reason, but we want tier two and we're going to bang the door down to get it.
I absolutely agree with you. I have every confidence that Ashley Giles is intending to invest in women's cricket, and I believe that he will, and I agree with everything you said about the way that the club is being run. And the other reason it doesn't sit well with me, because what do we pride ourselves on? The amount of England women's matches we've hosted at New Road.
Yeah.
And it just, for me, it doesn't sit well, and I just don't like the fact that that cricket, which I really enjoy, is being taken away from me. But in terms of big picture, I get it, and I do think it will make a difference.
Yeah. Well, that's very balanced of you, Pete. And if nothing else, we're very balanced most of the time.
But as you say, great to see the way the club's being run. Great to see the kit launch and the two captains. Some people didn't like it. Some people thought it would be a bit gimmicky, bit football, but I quite liked it. Who did they get in? Who's the chap from Sky?
Ian Ward.
That's the fellow.
Ian Ward. Yeah, look, it was confident. It was professional. Yeah. It was confident. It was slick. It was, if anything, slightly over the top. And I'm like, cool, I'm in.
But that's what I love every year, how Aston Villa fans get really excited that the home kit's going to be claret and blue.
I'll be honest, I couldn't care less about the kit. I've never bought one. If they bring back that horrible green MEB, like, horizontal stripe from the pyjama kit from the Pro 40.
With
like,
late early 90s.
100% yeah, I'm in on that. But that's just because I'm middle-aged. Couldn't care less about the kit. Don't think they're the right colours. Don't think it's that pretty. It's not for me. Doesn't matter. People dig it and that's great. It's about how you project out into the world.
Yeah.
And it's about... The thing is that you get Dolly, who probably, I don't know whether he loves it or not, and Chloe was there as well. And the players are made to feel like a big deal in a context you wouldn't normally find themselves. And it's profile. And whatever you say about, like, even cricketers, players like profile. They like to be made to feel like people are watching and care, and they care, and that people are interested in them. Because they want people to come and watch them. You want a crowd. Hmm. So it's just another way, an easy way, getting Ian Ward, not a necessarily cheap way, of saying we're an elite professional sports club. This is another reason you should come and play for us. So I'm in on that.
Reckon we can do an honour pair t-shirt launch. Just get Daz coming off the 1853 from New Street.
Yeah, I like that.
I was going to say, like, pans up.
I was going to say, if wide lens, we're going to have to find some better models, aren't we? Really, if the honour pair merch is going to go global, which we think it probably should.
Who are we getting in to present it? Not Ian Ward, presumably.
What, you mean, who out of the three of us could present it, who happens to be a professional broadcaster and presenter?
You've got to model it, mate.
I've let myself go. I'm not modelling anything, mate. That's not happening. I think we've got to be realistic about who we could get to model it.
Frank Watson will model it. Frank will do it.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon he would.
Oh, I'm not sure. Speaking of it, he's got my dart flights. Luke the Nuke Littler, you got me those dart flights you gave me as a little good luck present for the comms at Trent Bridge that I did. I left them in the comm box, didn't I?
Unbelievable.
Brace Girdle gave them to Frank. I've left them with Frank for you. I'll never see him again.
No.
When am I going to get those back?
You're going to get a ransom note from Watson. Modeling. Yeah. A ransom tweet.
Yeah. Quit commentating or you'll never see these again. It's like, I'll just buy another pack for £1.80 or something.
I reckon if we made a decent enough contribution to the Joe Leach testimony, because Frank's the chairman for Leach.
Maybe he'll auction him off
for his sins. Then I think perhaps he might model the merchandise for us.
I mean, he's so wonderful. I'd love it if he did. I mean, what a boon to our brand that'd be. Getting Mr. Worcestershire to wear the honour pair garb. But I'm not sure he's into that sort of caper. I don't think I've got that sort of persuasive clout. I feel like we would there'd have to be some sort of I don't know.
I've got it.
You've got a power finger out, Pete.
I know. And I've just remembered as well, because we've got to mention his name. I know he'll do it. Fergie. And he said you've got to mention
him. Oh, he will do it. Yeah.
He ran into him on his way back from Kidder.
Yeah, we love you, Fergie.
I thought we were going to go down the line of, like, getting one of the Dolly Birds from, like, EastEnders on or something. You know what I mean? Dolly Birds. How old
Dolly
are
Dolly Birds.
Oh, Bennett. God. Just in case you were wondering if I was middle-aged. Linda Lusardi. There we go. We'll get that. We've got Scorpio from Gladiators. It was all we had in the budget. Anyway, what are we on about?
I don't know. Let's move on.
We're going fast and loose here. Just like Linda Lusardi. No, that's not fair. That's not fair.
Fergie it is, then.
Right, so what we've learned is that we thought the kit launch was cool. Generally speaking, the kit isn't for us because we're old. We've got rubbish ideas about how to launch our own honour pair t-shirts, which, to be honest, no one is going to buy. But at least we've settled on a man who will never do it and a man who might none of whom I fear will do much for shifting units. But I feel like this should have come an awful lot sooner than it has, but it's going to be my first, shall we move on, of the season.
Yeah, let's get on with it.
Right, okay, so towards the end of last season, we were talking about recruitment a little bit, and we were kind of trying to figure out the balance of the side, because the feeling was, although early, because it was still in the winter, that we might be a little bit light in the batting, and potentially the balance of the side might be tricky. We felt like they wouldn't want Rodders to open the batting, but he has. 100 against Kent, fifth for Worcestershire, second of the season. Our boy Rodders. So I just like, generally speaking, balance of the side, how are we feeling about what we've seen?
Fantastic so far. I think we've looked good in every game, apart from the one game that actually got a bloody result, haven't we? Really frustratingly.
I don't like the phrase winning draws, but we drew from winning positions. Yeah, I like the balance of the side. The first side that came out, I mean, we were helped that Ben Gibbon and Tom Taylor decided to have a little hug in pre-season and knock each other out.
Are you Glasgow kiss? I'd eat pie. I'd eat that pie.
As soon as I'd heard that, I initially went to you, Jim, just going mad at your house about catching and not putting a name on it. I hate bad fielding.
Bad fielding makes me angry in ways that like a no ball or a wide never will.
But yeah, did like the side. I mean, we'll talk about Smith, obviously, because you can't not really, given the start he's had. But the recruitment with the two overseas, getting Holder in for 5 games. Okay, I don't think he's done exactly what we hoped he'd do. He hasn't done badly, but it was a great idea to bring him in. And I don't think he's been detrimental to the side in the slightest.
Yeah, good signing.
Yeah, we talked about how the top order might be a bit vulnerable, but then Cash decided he was just going to own number three.
This is the thing, because we had a chat before the season, didn't we? And we were sat here struggling to name our top five.
Cash hasn't done... He only played like 8 or 9 first-class games. You thought he might be a bit lightweight. You thought Hose might be a bit lightweight, yeah, white ball for Div 1. You kind of thought, well, should Rodders really be opening? Is he really a Div 1 standard opener?
Yeah, absolutely. We were sat here, and the only place we had was Libby opening in the top five, wasn't it, really?
Well, we felt like Dolly would probably be number five, yeah, didn't we? I think it was, yeah, Libby, 2.
No, to be fair,
Dolly, 5.
We had Jones at 4.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that's a solid, he's a safe pair of hands.
That's true, but we thought, I mean, who's batting three? Maybe he has to bat three.
By
so,
the way, he's also an absolute Wally, Rob Jones, from
yeah,
what we can tell.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. A lot of time for him. He is a turbo Wally in the best sense.
He looks like a Wally as well, doesn't he? Yeah.
I also get the sense from just looking at the videos that Matt Waite is like Rob Jones's bodyguard. Just follows him around.
All the pre-season stuff.
Yeah, I've got Joe Leach actually. It's one of those bouncers outside like Pop World with the stupid thing on their arm.
Yeah.
No trainers, mate.
Yeah.
We were struggling, and then Cash decided just to absolutely put a name on it and went, mine. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean.
I mean, the innings at Edgbaston, second innings, where he went absolutely ballistic. He set a platform and then went after him. And like, this kid's legit. And we knew he had talent. We just thought, is it too soon? Has he really proved this level? But he's been the key to this, because having that presence at number three and actually instilling a little bit of fear.
Mm.
Teams were scared of him. He got bounced out a bit daftly and Dylan Pennington figured him out. They came around the wicket against Nottinghamshire, bounced him, and he should have just kept underneath it. There's 100 there for him if he wanted it and made 40-odd. But he's now a player that teams go, we've got to watch it, because he can dig if he needs to, but he can go after you. And if he's on it, he can take you apart. He's looked absolutely dynamite.
This game against Kent, exactly the same thing. They went on the defensive early on. He got out himself chasing quicker runs, didn't he? But they were scared of him, like you say.
And anyway, it was good bowling from Notts to get him. But it's something he'll learn from, and he'll learn quickly in Div 1.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's not going to churn out hundreds every innings, and every time he doesn't, he'll learn a lot more about himself.
But just the numbers, you look at the numbers, 2 centuries and a 50, is it, already? And the manner in which he gets the runs, that weird periscope up sort of stand and deliver. I've never seen a guard like it, but what he's done at three, and the fact that Rodders has been—I mean, he's a little bit famine or feast with it, but a couple of centuries this year. So that top order, actually, with Libby, who is just doing what Libby does,
yep.
has been really pretty solid, and this is against experienced county attacks. This isn't against soft bowling attacks at all, and it's at the start of the season, and it's the Cash particularly, though, I think, that has just taken the heat off everything else. Because I was sort of worried about, I thought, to me, Holder, he's looked decent with the ball, he's looked a little bit underwhelming with the bat, a little bit undercooked. He feels like a number eight. Smith feels like a number eight. Waite feels like a number eight in Div 1. It feels like we've got Tommy Taylor, number eight. Mm. I feel like we've got loads of number eights. And I kind of thought that the gap between five and eight might have been a problem. But Matt Waite's come up with runs. Nathan Smith is a test cricketer.
Before we go on to him, I mean, it's worth saying that it helped that we had the Kookaburra trial for the first couple of games, because it was very batter-friendly, wasn't it? But that said, we were the better performing side out of the two. So good on. I don't want this pod at any point to be the Jim Dale Appreciation Society, but would you mind repeating for me one of the things you said on comms about Holder?
Oh my goodness, yeah. I riff, it's one of the best things I think
I've
ever said.
If you've not heard this, I'll give him his dues. It was beautiful.
I think the line was, he hits the bat hard with the ball, and he hits the ball hard with the bat. And it's like, it's a dead simple, but that's nice, isn't it?
That's great.
They don't normally let me do county championship game because I'm like the punk rock commentator. Because
you're the T20.
Because I'm 40, so I'm like the young.
Yeah, you're the young upstart, upcoming,
like
yeah.
The edgy, dangerous guy who looks like his dad and wears cardigans from an M&S. Watch out.
There's one more question about your commentary, but I'm going to do it later in the episode. Cool. Nathan Smith, go on, let's talk about him.
There's stats in cricket, and there are patches of form in cricket, and you can look at those sometimes and extrapolate out and be wide of the mark. You know, people like Chris Schofield is like a classic example. But it's the eye test for me. So getting to watch 3 days solid of Nathan Smith play cricket, he looks in every single way a test cricketer. And you can see good county players, you know, a bit like footballers, like Andy Johnston, you know, like good club player, not an international. Mm. He just, it was a bit like Michael Vaughan came into the test side with Chris Adams, and just Michael Vaughan was one. He just looks like a test cricketer. He passes the eye test, and Nathan Smith does that.
Quick, isn't he, as well?
He's nippy. He can bowl everything. He looks like a really compact, well-balanced, and quite pretty batsman. Decent in the field. He's contributing in every phase. And that spell where he grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck at Trent Bridge.
Yeah.
Four wickets for nothing. And it just turned the game on its head. And, I mean, ably supported, actually, I will say, that the control that Josh Baker and then Adam Finch, his little spell, he came on and just tied up an end. And what Finch should be really good at is just banging it in back of a length, you know, and pinning the batsman back and just making it difficult to score. And that little bit of pressure, and Nathan Smith with his skill with that Kookaburra ball, just ripped the heart out of Notts.
What I really enjoyed about it was Notts having crumbled in their opening game against Somerset, was it? No, it was Essex.
Yeah, Essex.
Cook ripped through them and
got a hat-trick. Pennington was the third victim in that as well, which was a nice little touch.
And then they were all confident about how they were getting on. And then Smith just went, no, I'm gonna do a Cook.
Yeah.
And he just turned up. And here for the whole season, Daz.
Yeah.
People can't see the little grin on your face, but you love an overseas player all year.
Just for the season.
Why not? I think what he does, he's a cricketer who's absolutely hitting form at the right time, isn't he? It's great recruitment because he's not quite an international cricketer yet. He absolutely will be
next off the rank.
And then the Holder, you're right. The numbers aren't great. He's bowled quite nicely at times, but he has a presence about him. And Smith and Holder both just give a credibility, a confidence, a puff out of the chest. Because Worcestershire are what we are. We are normally a close knit, well-drilled, tough-to-beat side with not any big-time stars. Maybe some up-and-coming talent, maybe players who might have been past their best, but a good class, good quality. But those two have that star quality. Mm. They have that... Yeah. They're always in the game. What I like about Smith is that you had the run-out late on at Edgbaston, you had the half-century at Trent Bridge, and you've just got three wickets and innings from him. That's basically what you get from him. He's always in the game.
Mm.
he's just a great modern cricketer. And I talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it in the last pod before or not, but the fact that I'd heard the name Nathan Smith, New Zealand cricket, but I didn't know anything about him.
Mm.
Do you know anything about him before he turned
out? No.
And the thing we said was it's savvy, because when you decide to chuck in another World Cup, because, you know, we haven't had one of them recently, and most of your big names are all going to be taken away for the big part of the season, the sensible recruitment is to go for a guy that's been performing really, really well domestically, is experienced with a Kookaburra ball, and can be with you all year.
Plays every format
where
well.
Other teams are going to have players coming in and going out again. It's really, really savvy. And again, goes, I know I gave them a little bit of criticism for the women's stuff, but really, just really positive to see what they're doing at the moment.
And taking Jason Holder for 5 games at the expense of other parts of the budget, it's that, again, it's a statement of intent, isn't it? And while he'll be frustrated, and at times you kind of feel like Nathan Smith or even Waite should be batting ahead of him in the lineup, is that it's about having someone like him around that just elicits respect. And you see it in other sports as well, is that, that their personality and their presence and their reputation alone is enough to just lift everybody. Yeah. And you just feel it. He's such a joy to have around. And it's been, despite the awfulness that we've kind of had to endure, and that those poor those poor men have had to endure, after Josh died, there's such a sense around this team. I feel like there's a presence around this team that we haven't seen in a really long time. And I think that recruitment and getting those right personalities and getting people like Rob Jones is a cracking cricketer, but just got that life, that a bit of effervescence about him.
And I know he's young, but I'm looking forward to seeing Ethan Brooks. He did really well. I thought he did really well in the 50-over stuff for Warwickshire. Looks inventive. Likely to see him a bit more in the white ball stuff with Josh Cobb, who is, again, excellent signing. Really, really savvy. Fell out with his club. Worcestershire just went, yeah, we'll have you. Come on.
Do a job for a year, won't he? Light on batting. I still feel like, I think when it comes to the short stuff, I still feel like we're probably a little bit light.
Yeah,
I feel like we're a batsman light for the blast, but we'll see. I feel like it's going to happen.
They've done the right thing in recognising that getting off to a strong start in Red Bull is essential. Yeah. We need to have the best possible chance of staying in Div 1 for all sorts of reasons, not only revenue. So, and we've done ourselves a solid in the opening games.
It's exciting, isn't it? This is
the one down, and I won't dwell on it because it's just a little. We've got. I think you've got a difference of opinion, Daz, on this, but. The Durham game annoyed me. Funnily enough, had the result been Essex or Somerset, I'd have taken it. The reason it annoyed me is because it's the side we came up with, and you really want to be targeting them for points. I know Durham are a strong outfit, particularly with the bat. I was just disappointed that in the first possible game, first home game as well in Div 1, I know it's not at home but because it was at Kiddie, but first home game, promotion, fellow promotion team, you want to be at least going away level.
Yeah.
And that's what annoyed me.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
think you disagree slightly.
Well, it's hard to disagree with that, but...
You were sort of... When I spoke to you on WhatsApp about you, like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, no.
Happens. Yeah.
Yeah, they tend to beat us in four-day stuff.
They were
and we tend
than
to beat them in short form. And
What I felt was that saying that because they came up with us, we should be competing with them was probably not that fair, because they came up very much as champions by a country mile. They were... A first div team in the wrong division last year, I think. Really,
I
fully expected them to be up there competing this year.
I just, you know, I don't condone violence, but I just wish someone would just leg up Beddingham. Trip him down the stairs. I don't want him to be out long term. Just one game.
He's so consistently good, isn't he?
40 on this time, didn't he? So.
He's so consistently good, and he's absolutely got our number, isn't he?
He is. Put a Durham shirt on, score 100.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yes,
but I suppose in the same way, I mean, I think Warwickshire and Nottinghamshire were both thinking Worcestershire will be the soft touch because we're everyone's favourite to get relegated.
We were the
Warwickshire fans and Notts fans both said we should have lost that game in cricket. Both of them said they should have. And if they'd gone the full day, the final day, I think we win both of those games.
100%. Mm. We're on top in both. Every single other county in Division 1 was looking at us as the... Well, they'll go down.
At least we'll get Worcestershire,
we've only got to finish above one other team then. And yeah. We've proved them all wrong at the moment. So.
Yeah.
And Durham, like I said, Durham came up really strongly last year. They were going to compete this year.
At the risk of being crushingly realist, I hope I'm wrong. But I think with those two opportunities and the weather slightly scuppering us, I'm a little bit worried about us winning games of cricket. I think we're going to be really tough to beat.
Draws in Div 1 go a long way.
I think we're going to be really tough to beat, but I think we're going to struggle to win cricket matches. But since they up the points for a draw,
yeah,
fine. Give us the Kookaburra ball so people can't get bowled out for 12 with the Duke's ball in the first week of April. We'll take draws all day long because that suits us. It doesn't make for, you know, when it comes to win columns and glory, it doesn't make for much. But if we draw every week and we stay up, I'll take it like as a platform because we're playing good cricket for our draws. I know that I generally speaking, I hate draws, but if they're going to put the conditions such that it's going to be hard to win games of cricket in April, hard to win games of cricket in April, are you kidding me? If they're going to do that, fine, we'll take the points. Yeah, thanks very much.
Say it as if boring draws are boring. None of them have been boring draws. Mm. It hasn't been a 500 for two.
In fairness, the weather's sort of scuppered it.
It's been the weather, hasn't it? And we, like you say, we've been on top in certainly two of them.
Do you know who's not been on top? Lancashire.
No.
They might be the Wigan boys everywhere.
And Yorkshire.
Yeah. It's a terrible shame about Yorkshire, isn't it? Anyway. So yeah, performance has been pretty good, hasn't it? I think everyone has contributed. The first sort of interesting bit will be when Holder goes. And again, I think Frank actually made a really good point on commentary today about us losing Josh in every sense. And he said that in Division 1, you need a frontline spinner. And you might not need them every week, but if you're going to do anything in Division 1, you need a frontline spinner. And so that, and the trajectory of his career, like he was looking like he was absolutely going to be that. Mm. And so that's going to be interesting what they do about that. Because Dolly, God bless him, he'll do a job for you as a like second choice.
Yeah.
But batsmen in Div 1 are good enough. If you're the only spinning option, they'll go after him.
Kashif Ali, first to 1,000 runs and 50 wickets.
Okay, that's a gutsy call, Moeen Ali.
yeah, I don't believe that either. But
so I don't know whether I don't know whether there's scope for getting an overseas spinner in. Perhaps I don't know.
We've got one. It's called Mia. He's coming for T20. He's coming back, isn't he?
I wonder if there's scope for him to play.
Depends on his other commitments. I know it's been somebody. I saw a comment on it earlier, I don't know if it was a Twitter thread or a tweet in itself, but somebody was a bit negative about that prospect, but I don't really think he's had the chance in Red Bull to show anything. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like that could be an option. But we'll see. It's a good point. Right, the next question on commentary.
Okay. Oh, God.
So, I can't remember which game it was in, but you said there was a criteria. You have a criteria for what makes a beautiful shot. And you never came back to it. I think your stint ended.
Oh, yeah. So that it was Edgbaston with Mel Fowler.
I'm going to wait for this ball and I'm going to tell you what it is. And then you never told us. So, Jim, what is it?
Okay. So, no, it wasn't quite that. So she was going about, some shots are just really beautiful. And I don't understand it, right? So why do they look so good? But then, like, other shots don't look nice. So batsmen look good, but they play. Some batsmen play a shot, it looks good. The same batsmen play a shot, it looks bad. What's going on with that? That's a terrible impression, Mel. I apologise. But I have a theory. I have a theory about cricket shots and batsmen, when they look nice and when they don't. And the thing that drew me to this was Mark Ramprakash. Aesthetically speaking, a beautiful batsman. I think aesthetically speaking, a beautiful man. Very handsome man. Very
a lot
handsome
of people batsman. Liked him on Strictly when he had his
this
top
is
off.
This is my point about Strictly. Now did he win Strictly or he did very well in it?
I believe he did. I haven't got street cred, so yeah, let's say he won Strictly.
Okay.
I know that.
but do you know that?
Yeah, no, I think
he I know won. He did really well. So he won Strictly.
I'm fairly confident.
Okay, so
if it was Millionaire, I'd go for it.
He's a good dancer. Right. Yeah. He's proven he's a good dancer. And I think it's all about your ability to dance. And I say it's not or your potential to dance. So it's about footwork. I think it's about balance on your toes. Because, the ballroom dancing, rise and fall. They rise and fall and everything like that. And so the elegance and the ability to dance. provides, you know, so the movement, it's the flow of the, you know, it's the flow of the movement. Okay. It's a transition of body weight and how that looks. And being able to do that elegantly, naturally, makes a beautiful cover drive rather than it being a slap your foot down the wicket and push through the line of the ball, right? Still just as effective. A four is a four. But I think it's the transition of weight and it's the dance element to it. Rabakash can dance and he looks nice, all right? Jack Russell, I would wager, cannot dance. He does not look nice with a, you know, playing cricket shots, right? Doesn't mean he's not effective. I would wager that Jonathan Trott can't dance. I reckon Ian Bell probably could.
Okay.
So I reckon there is a high positive correlation between people who can dance and people who can play pretty cricket
shots.
I'm
glad I asked you now. I wasn't expecting that.
There is absolutely no data to back this up, and this is entirely anecdotal, hunch-based, but that's what I reckon.
But if you want something to back you up, Mark Ramprakash did win Strictly Come Dancing. So there you go. Although Matt Dawson was second, and I've never seen him play a cricket shot in my life.
Well, he was a rugby player, and that's probably for why.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have to be good at dancing to be a good rugby player?
Who else was a cricketer on Strictly?
I don't know, mate. I'm not against...
Tufnell must have done it and come last in it, surely.
I don't think Tufnell did. They wouldn't have Tufnell and Alan Widdicombe on the same
show. Graham Swan did it.
Yes, Graham Swan. Where did he finish?
Graham Swan, hang
on. Come
on, Daz. Oh my God, this is not how I thought the pod was going to go.
Has Alistair Cook done it?
No, he's a good-looking man. I'm not sure...
He's in a very different set of videos for you.
I don't think he's necessarily a good dancer. I don't think he plays ugly cricket shots, but they aren't pretty. Great. I bet Gower. I mean, Gower's been to a lot of black tie balls. He could probably waltz, couldn't he? He was a good-looking batsman.
Yeah.
Do you know who plays a pretty cricket shot?
Me.
Shikhar Dhawan.
Yes, haven't heard from him for a while. Your man crush.
He can dance.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, so that's my loose theory on the matter, with no hard data to back it up.
Graham Swan came seventh in Series 16.
Hey.
So that's mid-range.
So that's two things now. And so yeah, that's proof.
And I would say he's not a pretty batsman.
Yeah.
He's not an ugly batsman. I'd say he's probably slightly below average.
I mean, most people these days, one story, anecdote equals data. So by that logic,
I would say elegance as a batsman will correlate with elegance as a dancer.
Hey, can you dance, Jim? I don't think I've ever seen... You're an elegant batsman.
So this is the thing. I don't know. I feel like I could. I have done ballroom dancing before, but that was back at, like, a million years ago when I trained to be an actor and I did shows. I had to waltz.
I sense I know where this is going, this conversation.
I like, you know, if I'm going to a gig, I'll move. Like, I'm not like you, Pete. You refuse to dance or move at any context. I'm moving. If there's a good vibe, I'm going. I don't care.
Don't enjoy it. I'm a foot tapper and a listener.
Oh, I love a dance. I can't say when I'm good.
Don't begrudge people who do. It's just not for me.
Yeah, that's not, you live your life, be free. Well, I'm having a nice time. This is all right. We're all talking about Strictly Come Dancing. I feel a little bit better about life.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing, Daz.
Welcome to On
Would
the Dance Floor.
Would you like to know?
No.
Which other cricketers have won Strictly Come Dancing?
Oh, I tell you what.
Yes, I do. Go on.
Mark Ramprakash won Series 4, but he was preceded by...
Oh, I think Darren Goff won it.
I don't know why that's suddenly playing music. Sorry, let's turn that down. Sorry, say that again.
Did Darren Goff do it?
Yeah, he won it the series before, 2005.
No, he's not elegant.
No,
that's messed things up. But there's always an anomaly. There's always an outlier.
Yeah. No, so what Darren Goff would do with a cover drive, he would go for it. He does a big flourish. So I'd write his footwork. He's a bit, you know, he's a potato with legs, isn't he, when he bats? But the arm extension and the flourish, Do you remember when he got his, you won't remember this, but I do. His first test match, he got a 65 when he batted against New Zealand on debut. Got 65 and it got a flourishing cover drive and wafted the bat above his head. When he got his 50, he celebrated by swirling the bat above his head. Like, it was really extravagant, swooshy, check you out, are you some sort of gymnast, right? I wouldn't have expected him to be a good dancer, but he liked to flourish and that's important, I think.
Can we move on from Strictly?
No, because Phil Tufnell has been on Strictly.
Oh, he can't have been good. Because he can't. If he's done well, then my theory is buried. Because he objectively speaking, cannot bat.
He should be eliminated first, shouldn't he?
No, but it's the same way Tony Adams got a few.
And Ed Balls. The newsreader, wasn't he?
Yeah, they'll keep him in for a while.
To me, Tufnell should be just below halfway, if my batting dancing theory is correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, eliminated seventh again. So, yeah, okay. Ninth out of 16, yeah.
Excellent. So, right, before we
this is weird. I'm so into this. I want more cricketers on Strictly. I want to see if this is a thing.
I want to quickly Google, see if he's on Strictly, just is Monty Panesar, because I reckon he must have done it at some point.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, before we move on properly, can I just give a shout-out to what is my new favourite thing, and that is European Cricket League.
Oh,
my
goodness.
We talk about it a lot on WhatsApp. If you don't know what it is, I mean, we'll retweet some stuff, and you can go and find it.
None of them have ever been on Strictly.
It is village cricket, but they're prone to moments of brilliance, and they're prone to moments that are worse than village cricket. It is absolutely amazing.
It has, without question, the widest expanse of range in terms of talent moments.
Yeah.
This stuff goes from naught to 60 and back to naught again in half an over. It's unreally. It's the best. And they've always got, I don't know why, but exclamatory commentary is always better in an Australian accent.
Yeah.
Daft stuff happens. It's like accidentally running three to the keeper. That's the sort of thing that you can expect. Kicking it over the boundary rope, like
so
concussions.
So that's the video I remember, and I'll try and retweet it, is fielder bombs it down to the defence, brilliantly puts his ball on it. I mean, it's an ankle breaker if he gets it wrong, but he puts his ball on it, stops it in front of the rope, tumbles over the boardings, comes back
He hurdles the boarding.
And then as he comes back into the field of play, he slips and skips the ball behind him for four.
Unreal. It's absolutely perfect. And it is mainly crap.
Yeah.
But it's quite honest, and you get moments of real brilliance, little moments of flair, and you see some cricketers that clearly have talent but don't try. Talent but don't try, I'm all in on.
Sorry, that was very off-piste, but I've really wanted to mention European cricket for
no,
a while.
Love it, Pete. Big up.
Daz, you got an answer. Daz, we need to move on.
He hasn't been on Strictly Come Dancing, he's been on Dancing on Ice, Monty.
He can't have lasted.
He didn't even make this. He broke his ankle before he got
this theory works. This is a thing. If you can dance, you're right. A pretty batsman.
Next game you're on, next four-day game, go into this.
I mean, that's going to be a long time off, let's be honest.
Have we got anything else on the agenda? I'm asking you not, as if you know.
No, I think...
I'm still reading about Monty Panesar. I didn't realise he'd joined and left...
Oh, yeah.
A political party in the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, yes. I don't really want to get into that, because I feel like, in every sincerity, is that Monty's an all right lad, and I think there's an element of vulnerability there, and I think...
Well, there is looking at this skating...
Yeah, but no, like, in all seriousness, that going down that avenue with that political party, with a certain individual that's involved in it, is not good for him, it's not good for his general mental health, and it's not good for the stuff that he has gotten on Twitter, so I'm glad that he's backpedalled from that. And I hope that, you know, the people that care about Monty are just like keeping an eye, because he's a good lad.
Let's move on. Well, Pete, yes. what's the next on the list, Pete? Come on.
Well, I've technically asked you that question.
Yeah.
Knowing.
Well, that's knowing that I was throwing it back at you.
It's AOB, isn't it?
AOB. Oh, is it time for a beer?
I'd say
another beer.
Let's have a top up, and let's finish out. On any other business, which I'll be honest, actually,
I do know what any other business is. I've got
you
it.
Do know what any other business. This full disclosure, we did a pod about a month and a half ago, and all of the news came out the next day, so we didn't bother releasing it. So,
which is why we're not doing news this time, to avoid that pitfall.
Because we would have looked like idiots, wouldn't we? And we wouldn't want that.
No, we've sidestepped that landmine once again, lads.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a refill and finish out today's nonsense.
More beer.
Right, okay, so we've had a little breather. We've talked about dancing, that's a thing. On to any other business.
I'm sure people who follow Worcestershire will know, really, will have worked out what the any other business was going to be, but I've made it a two-parter for you. Let's talk about good old Underwater New Road. Been talked about a lot recently, particularly by high-ranking officials at the club. Daz, I'm going to chuck to you first. Time to leave New Road.
I mean, I think it's probably inevitable that we
have to look at the viability of staying there. I don't know if it's viable or not. It doesn't feel like it when it floods eight times a year. And it's flooding more and more every single year, isn't it? The climate's not getting any better. Can we carry on there?
No.
If the answer to that's no, then we've got to leave.
The answer is unequivocally and unquestionably no.
Because, I mean, and the reason it's take me so long to get to that point is because none of us want to leave it in an ideal situation.
I'm going to come. I'll chuck to Jim in a mo, but I'd actually come to the thinking that it was time to leave New Road a couple of years ago, and it was actually looking around New Road itself. We had the chat on Pear Shapes. That was a thing about
Pear Shape. Are we going to do Pear Shape this?
We might have to turn some of this into Pear Shapes. But when we're talking about how picturesque New Road is and what makes a picturesque ground, New Road is not as picturesque as it once was. The scoreboard no longer being in commission. A lot of the trees have been cut down because they were diseased. You know, really, all we've got left is the view from the pavilion to the cathedral. And that's all we've got.
Do not get me started. Well, I'm going to chuck you in a second. You're going to get a Jim Dale monologue up in you.
So the New Road leaves a lot of work doing to it. The New Road stand has been tatty for a long time. It was part of the Tier 3 development that's never happened. The Dolly stand itself needs work. A lot of seats are broken. There's a lot of investment is needed into New Road. And what is the point in putting money into New Road when you can't play there, or there's a high chance you're not going to be able to play there?
Yeah.
So I think it's time to look to go elsewhere.
I mean, I actually don't necessarily think it is all about the view of the cathedral. It's the location, the proximity to the town centre. It's very easy to jump on a train if you're from other parts of Worcestershire to get in.
But is it eighth flood this year or seventh?
Yeah,
seventh
absolutely. Flood, well, that's the problem, isn't it?
This winter. And what it's going to result in, which might actually be good for our survival, is completely dead wickets. But Jim, talk us about the cathedral.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is going to annoy some people. And you don't have to agree with me on this. But I have come to the conclusion, aside from the flooding, the ground is tatty. The facilities are not good. The players don't even have a gym on site. If we want to be a good cricket side, we need to have professional standard facilities. And we don't. If you're that obsessed about looking at the cathedral, go to Cathedral Square, sit in one of the many bars, restaurants or cafes that are usually chains that pay very low business rates, courtesy of a council that allow it, and you can stare at that thing until your heart's content. I don't understand this obsession with watching and staring at a cathedral at a cricket ground. It's a beautiful and lovely thing. It's a luxury. A cathedral does not a ground make. Wherever we go, it's not going to feel as special because it's full of memories. It's like moving house. You don't really want to because of, you know, your kids grew up there, or it was the first house you had with your partner, or whatever it may be. Whatever the reason is that you leave that house, it will hold memories and it will pull at your heartstrings and it will have nostalgia and everything else. But you leave for a reason. And the reasons are always based on practicality and next steps in your growth. Cricket financially is on its knees, and we are a have-not. So if we are going to maximise revenue from commercial streams, maximise revenue from attendances because ground isn't flooded, and maximise money through a competitive team on the field, we need to attract good players because the facilities are good.
Yeah.
And at some point, we're just going to have to be grown-ups about it. And I'm sorry if this is painful for a lot of people to hear. I love New Road. My childhood was at New Road, playing with the black dustbin as a wicket down by where there was the climbing frame by the old scoreboard. But it's not a good place to watch cricket. Not because the club aren't trying, because the fan experience has been massively improved over the past couple of years. And Joe Tromans has had his fingerprints all over that. And it's absolutely to their credit that they're doing their damnedest, and I really like the direction the club's going in, but the future of Worcestershire County Cricket Club is not at New Road, and we've just got to get used to it.
Daz, you look coiled from response. Yeah, or were you just?
No, I mean, it's hard to disagree with any of that, isn't it?
Yeah,
and but like you say, there's so many memories there, and for me, the one good thing about it still is the location.
Yes.
You talk about the cathedral or whatever you want to talk about. I think it is beautiful. I disagree with you. But
no, I think the cathedral is beautiful, but it's not a reason to have a cricket ground next to it.
No.
So The key point for me is the bit about facilities, and it was Joe Leach on the Three Pairs chat. Three colleagues talk about the game they love and the team they work for. and he sort of let slip himself, and we knew anyway, but you know, that players have turned down the opportunity of coming to Worcestershire because the facilities aren't there. And, you know, given the maximising revenue, everything that you've just talked about, I agree, New Road is convenient and it is packed to me. I absolutely agree with all of that.
It's convenient but that, when it's
but,
open.
Yeah, but to run a business, and there is a business, like, people don't like it, the same way they don't like seeing football clubs as businesses, but to run a business properly, to maximise revenue, to improve your facilities, to improve the talent coming through, to invest in players, we've just got it. I've long accepted now that New Road is not the long term. It's not even the medium term home for Worcestershire.
We're not going to go and get a Hampshire concrete bowl with a squillion billion seats in. I trust the club to be sympathetic to where they move to from where they've been. I would be very surprised if we were in some sort of purpose-built, joyless, soulless out-of-towner.
Let's move on to part two, then, of this AOB. So we're all agreed with differing levels of, not willingness, but, you know, with a heavy heart, New Road is not going to be the place for the club.
Can we move the cathedral as well?
Well,
pick it up and move it.
So we've accepted with a heavy heart that we've got to move on from New Road. Let's say, and it's purely hypothetical, we have a new purpose-built stadium. And I disagree with you. I do want it to be the Aegeus Bowl, just so, to mock me.
I just
want it to be a concrete
bowl. No, but that is the other worry about moving, isn't it?
It is. But so, hypothetically, we move and we build a new stadium next to Worcestershire Parkway. That's not, there's no inside gossip there. I've literally just made that up. And of course, they'll never build a sports ground next to a convenient train station. That'll never happen. But at the moment, none of it's got a name. No, there's no stands have got a name. The ground itself doesn't have a name. The ends haven't got a name. So why don't we hypothetically name the different aspects of the new ground? So, first of all, let's go for the big one. What are we calling the ground? What do we think?
The new road. New road.
It's got, I mean...
Newer
new
road.
Road. Newer road.
Newest
road.
The new road, I love. It has to be in contention.
And what year does it become just New Road?
When does it become Road?
Just Road. Yeah, the New Road doesn't become Road
yet. New Road should be Road. We'll rename New Road the Road.
The Road.
And we'll move to New Road.
Yeah. Yeah,
perfect.
I'm all for that.
We'll put a big mural of the cathedral up, right?
Well, so presumably we're going to have a cathedral end. It doesn't have to be Worcester Cathedral. I think when we talked about this jokingly, it was like, it could be Salisbury. It could be the nearest cathedral.
It depends how out of town it is.
So we could just have a cathedral end.
Well, I mean, you say out of town, does it have to be in Worcester?
I was going to say exactly the same thing. This sort of...
We're losing hand over fist people in the Black Country whose parents all supported Worcestershire and who now all follow Birmingham Bears because it's nearer.
Yeah, I'd say that's not a payoff I'm willing to make. In fairness, the Worcestershire thing is that... It has to be in Worcester, I think, doesn't it?
Worcester or outskirts,
yeah,
I think.
On the Barron.
Because, again, you've got, think of population, and when you factor in Wychavon, Worcester, yeah. I won't bore everyone, but yeah, I think in or around Worcester.
In and around Worcester.
So, ends of grounds. It's difficult, because you don't know how the ground's going to be built, but I mean, it's our ground. We're just making it up right now.
Well, one end's got to be the Neil Radford end.
I mean, there's a high likelihood that the stadium, whilst I love New Road or New Road, it's either going to be the Worcester Bosch Arena or the Sports England Community Stadium.
It could be the G-Tech Air Arena. Yeah. I mean, who knows? The Worcester University Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, they buy everything.
Yeah. The Uni Kings Grammar Stadium. They'll all come in as a shared ownership.
Instead of the Premier Inn, we could have... Just uni, blocks of uni accommodation.
The premium-priced education stand.
So, you know, pavilion. I mean, you can't pick up and move the Graham Hitt pavilion.
You can't. I mean, isn't it time that his old mate... You can't have a Graham Hitt pavilion and not a Tom Moody pavilion.
I would argue the current pavilion is the Moody pavilion.
Hey! We're alienating everyone.
Oh, yeah. But scrub that.
I'd like the Scott... I'd like the Matthew Waite turnstile.
Matthew Waiters.
I wouldn't mind the Ollie Cox urinal. because you've had too much of the Alan Gear sherry bar.
Nice.
Hey.
Nice.
Is it a bar that only sells sherry or
Yeah, exclusively sherry.
I don't know about stands, but presumably the seating in the stand, you'd have Colin Munro A, row B.
Hey!
I think, oh, do you know what? The big brilliant thing about it, we'll be able to have floodlights, won't we?
That is the other thing.
Or Stuart lamps.
So we're moving.
In the windows of the pavilion where they have Tim curtains. I wouldn't mind a nice glass of Reuben spring water.
Oh, yeah. Not quite as good.
Not so good.
We're moving, and we're moving to the new road.
New road. Do you reckon the groundsman will be using his Adam hose?
Yay!
Rescued it.
And I'd like to think that there'd be a big row of ATMs where you can get your money out. We could call it the Cashif Alley.
Yeah. Sherry bar with cash only.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Don't the car park will have loads of poor pollards you have to lower.
You're talking pollards.
Yeah. New library? The Roger Silence library?
Lost it.
Yeah, I know. There was a moment.
Although I do always like a Roger Silence reference. He's a player that doesn't get talked about enough on this podcast.
I think, based on the last 13 seconds, he's been talked about too much.
Yeah, I'm going to get Roger Silence in every episode we do this year.
Silence is golden, my friend. And on that note, we should call it a day. I hope you've been glad to have us back. And I think the only fitting way to finish this evening is we will raise a glass to number 33. And we'll see you a little further on down the track, Pairs fans. Take care.
Right, Josh Baker, is this your moment? He waits for Alisson, pushes it away on the offside, and that's it. They're going to pick up a single here, Worcestershire. They're coming back for two, and they are officially promoted 6 years to the day since the last time they made it into the First Division. Worcestershire, after 174 days of the season, are back in the First Division. So night, but can taste the fire.